Blog Talk Radio.
Frank, you ready?
Yeah, run that back.
Alright, here we go.
Oh no. It's been a while since I've been up in the booth. Feels good. Feels like 98.com. Fake Rob, delay up in NYC, I see you, dog. Plug's locked up. I got you, though. Free plug. Had to do it to him. Swipe a boy, take notes. Class about to start. Finally, got on a track with Bobby. We chilling in the penthouse while the haters in the lobby. 22 and already on a website, supposed to dismay, but it just don't feel right. Let's take a second, take some time to appreciate the boy that led Tennessee to that elite eight. But it's still sad to stop and think about, though. We'd have cut the Nets down if Austin made his free throw. But that was back then, yeah, it's in the past. Me and Maze up on this beat, taking names and kicking ass. We flying by you like a Tyler Bray pass. Ball spin to be on top, you ain't even gotta ask. We scoring all day in that checkerboard grass. Make Alshon Jeffrey look like he pumping gas. Leon B. Ham, man, not even somewhat. Your team look as ugly as Mud Champ's butt cut. Don't get me started on that loser Mark Rick yet. He looks just like Kellen Hunt in a headset. This has been a pleasure, yeah, man, it's been great. Shout out to B. Mays and feels like 98. What?
What? Feels like 98 here on a on Monday night, joined by Trent Flubbs, and got to first be called Morris. Morris, how are you, sir?
This is Morris.
Hey, Morris. Trent Flubbs.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. So I feel like we do this podcast every year. About this time, and it's basically the podcast to signify that in terms of college football, our hopes and dreams are pretty much gone for the year. However, there seems to be some scuttlebutt on the internet about some rumors going around that I definitely want to address. Before we get to that, I do want to revisit Arkansas. I mean, listen, that's a game you had to win, in my opinion, to keep, you know, a decent amount of the fan base behind you, to keep, you know, probably even to keep the players' heads in the game. I don't know. These kids seem fairly resilient. I think we care about wins and losses perhaps more than some of them do. They just want to get better at the game. So I don't know if that's exactly true, but I know I'm deflated. I'm not even mad. It's just disappointing that now I have to find real life things to do other than obsess over a college football team. Do you guys take anything away outside of the fact that this year sucks from Arkansas? Let's go with Morris first.
You know, I think it's more about the big picture at this point. Obviously, with Butch Jones, I feel like we're zoomed out right now at, you know, the 30,000 foot view looking at the program. So I don't take too much from Arkansas. I'm starting to look at this thing in total, and I don't see how you can like the direction this program is going right now.
Trent Flubbs.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy that everybody hates, and I'm just going to point out, you know, true freshman Preston doesn't fumble that ball on the 7-yard line. We win the game, you know. As much as we hate to say this over and over, most of our impact players are true sophomores, freshmen. We are the best 2-3 team in the country. That's no consolation. I realize that. And, you know, that was just – Dan Skipper was pushing around Shai Tuttle with his right hand, and McKenzie with his left hand. I mean, you know, I realize they're not a great team. We're not a great team. I do not think that the situation is – it's a bad situation because, you know, it's going to take quite a finish to rescue this season. I don't think the program is in nearly as bad a shape as this fan base seems to think. And, man, I think Butch Jones doesn't realize or is probably shocked right now at the hornet's nest that the University of Tennessee fan base is.
I think that I don't even know that it's necessarily Tennessee. I think this is perhaps an awakening as to how a fan base this large reacts. And that's, you know, I mean, obviously, and I'm not going to accept, oh, well, we haven't won in 8 or 9 years, really, so you can't really expect to get back to where we were. I don't really operate like that. I think that Tennessee deserves to be one of the more prestigious programs. I think they are still traditionally one of the more prestigious programs in the country. I know, Trent, you disagree with that. But I don't think that that means that you can accept mediocrity. And at best, we're going to get incremental improvement here yet again, perhaps a game better than last year. And I just don't think you can keep – I know you can't keep me. I don't think you can keep anybody on our website. I don't, and I understand that's a tenth of a percent of the fan base. However, I do think it speaks for a lot of it, in that I don't think you can get by with just winning one additional game, and in 5 years down the road, maybe we're winning 9, maybe we're winning 10. I just don't think that really flies, especially in the SEC, especially a school like Tennessee.
Jerry, go ahead. That's a great point. No, that's a great point.
Trent,
go ahead.
Now let me finish undressing Trent, and then we'll move on. Trent, you said that we're not a good football team, but the coach that you've been defending all day today, the guy, the visionary that you see, stood up in front of us today and spoke into a microphone and said the fact of the matter remains that we are a good football team.
Yeah, no, I think that we are a good football team. I think that we're the best 2 and 3 football team in the country. Without a doubt,
which is the equivalent of what being like, hey, I'm the best looking virgin who's never had sex. What does that mean?
We're a team that's been snake bitten. We're a team that if we somehow can learn to find, you know, I'm not sure final can finish a game out. I think we're as good as anybody that will play the rest of the year except for Alabama. I think that we have a chance to win every game that we play for the rest of the year. I really do.
Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Yes, I mean, first of all, I agree with Trent that the season isn't over, and it can definitely, if Tennessee ends up 8-4, I think it'll be a mixed bag of how we view it. We definitely wins we left on the board, but that will mean that we beat some decent teams. So if that happens, we can talk about that then. But right now what I'm seeing, I think we can only speak about what we're seeing right now and what we've seen up to this point. And when I watch Butch Jones go to start out 2-3, I'm having a hard time imagining a scenario where he is winning big here, because the last couple years he didn't have the talent and it was clear watching him. Now I'm watching him and I see that he has as good, if not better, players than every team he's played. And he's had 2 of these 3 losses at home, and he's not winning. Florida is going to be as young and as inexperienced and as bad as they are probably for a while, and they're still beating him. Arkansas is not a good team. They lost to Toledo. They lost to Texas Tech. He just got outcoached in the second half. Oklahoma, same thing. So when I'm looking at the big picture, and I don't think Bush is going to get fired this year. I just think too many things would have to happen. But I just don't see a scenario where he's the guy that's going to get it done here based off what we've seen this season. I mean, you could take a lot from these first 5 games. I think we all knew that coming into the season.
Morris, though, you say that Florida and Oklahoma are not that great. They're looking pretty great right now, both teams.
Yeah, but when is the time that you're going to – let's say they're top 10 teams, which they might be. When is the time that you're going to beat the top 10 teams is what I'm saying. When is that going to come? Because now was a perfect opportunity. This is a very talented team. you have it. You had one of the most experienced and big name quarterbacks coming back. You got Oklahoma at home. You got Arkansas at home. You lost both of those. I don't know when that's going to happen or when he's going to have that much more talent where he can just overwhelm people.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't agree that Josh Dobbs has all that much experience coming back, to be honest with you. And, I mean, we are a better team than we were last year. No, we're not getting blown out by Oklahoma. You know, I think that the change, the improvement is incremental and people don't like that. But I do think there comes a time when, yes, you're right, you have to win those games. I have to give the guy.
Well, when is
years.
When is that? When is that? When is that time for you, though, Trent? When does that time come? Our record's the exact same as last year. The rest of the season looks as bleak as last year. We're fighting for a bowl game yet again. I mean, how many top five recruiting classes do you need before you can perhaps win 8 football games the regular season in a very down SEC East? How many more years?
What? Well, I mean, you know, guys, we have people on the message board, we ask to predict the season. Many people predict it's 7-5. It's not an unusual prediction. I mean, that's probably what we're going to end up if we're lucky.
But they didn't say that would be a success. They
didn't say, oh, 7 wins and I'm happy with it. They said, I don't
exactly.
have much confidence
right.
in Butch Jones. We're going to win 7 games because we suck.
They're saying 7-5 is what I think this team is capable of this year. Okay.
To Jerry's point, I don't think people that were making 7-6 win and 8 win predictions were saying that because they thought that's the talent we had. I think most of the people that were saying that were saying they don't believe in this coaching staff. And I thought this team was capable of winning 9 or 10 games, but I thought the coaching staff would do a lot better. And the talent's got us in there. The talent's gotten us to the point where we can be 5-0. I mean, we have the talent. We've seen that. And the coaching staff is what's kept us from doing that. And is that going to change? When would that change?
Yeah, but to a point, though, you know, we're not the most realistic people. You know, we've got Shy Tuttle and McKenzie, two true freshmen on the defensive line. And in preseason, you know, we're talking about how nasty this defensive line is going to be. And that's just totally unrealistic in the SEC. It's not realistic at all.
That's absolutely not, because our defensive line are made up of freshmen, sophomore, and juniors, some that are very, very proven, and they got dominated by an all-freshman offensive line at Florida. So those guys just don't get worse overnight. That doesn't happen. They don't forget how to play football. They're 5-4 and 5-star guys for a reason.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think what you're saying is wrong. I don't think you're like, you make a lot of sense. So what you're saying is true. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think it's that difficult to expect to beat somebody. I mean, Jim McElwain beat Ole Miss. He beat Tennessee. James Franklin won 9 games at Vanderbilt. It's not like over the course of 3 years, I just feel like we should have seen some sort of evidence that this guy can get to 9 or 10 wins at some point. And I just don't know if we've seen that. And 3 years should have.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think I'm just sounding like I'm making excuses. I think we've had an incredibly tough schedule for Butch's entire tenure. I really do. But I agree with you sometimes. Well, I do. I mean, do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I think that I don't think we should have lost to Florida. I don't think we should have lost to Oklahoma. And I don't think it was players that lost those two games. Now, I do think you can look at the players a little bit more against Arkansas because they ran like 4 offensive plays and they ran it down our throats. I don't know if that's a combination of poor coaching, players kind of, you know, coming off a tough, tough loss, asking them 5 days later to turn around and play a decent team with a good offensive line. That's tough to ask. I'll buy that. But you haven't answered the question we both asked is like, at what point in your mind do we actually need to, at what year should we actually start, like, seeing improvement in the statistical category that actually matters? Like, at the end of the year, when you look back at a program and you look at years, you don't look and see how many freshmen they had, how many sophomores they had. Oh, well, they held the lead until the third quarter, but then they lost it. You look at two columns, wins, losses. So at what point should we expect to maybe, I don't know, do something crazy like live up to expectations, like win 8 games? When is that? What
you're
yeah,
if we're not, yeah, if you're not competing for the SEC championship at the end of 2016, you'd make a change. A coach gets a 4-year term, like a president gets a 4-year term. You got to have 4 years to implement your program fully. I think that's pretty much understood. And that historically, that is not a lot of time. If you look how long it took Johnny Majors to get his program up and running, he had some terrible years. So, and I know we're not living in that era now, but, and I know other coaches have turned it around. Go ahead.
Jim McElwain's turned around in 5 games, and he inherited a pretty, I mean, not a great roster. Good defense, as they always have. I mean, I think you saw. I mean, I think we were 2 touchdowns better than them 2 weeks ago, and still lost. You look at Jim Harbaugh. I understand he's an elite level coach, and Hope actually did recruit a lot better than what people want to give him credit for. They do have a fair amount of talent there, but I mean, they just blew out a top 25 team, and they're playing great football. I don't think it's out of the realm or out of question to ask to see substantial improvement in year 3.
I agree with that.
You can tell. That's a rule. This is a rule. I think we're just like making up. I think you can tell if we're legitimately staring 2-5, 2-6 in the eye. Now listen, we could be having a podcast in 3 weeks and say, man, you know, Butch circled the wagons. Oh my goodness. You know, wow. The guy woke up, you know, he really motivated the kids and they came out and they won a couple very, very big ball games and you get the fans back. I mean, I do think he said it right when he said love is conditional a week or two ago. And that may sound weird, but it really is when it comes to football. Like, and especially a coach like him. My biggest fear when he came in was he was saying all the right things. He's very cliche oriented, which is great when times are good because you can kind of get behind it. You can kind of mock it, but you think it's funny because everything's going well. But the second that things just finally do not seem to be panning out, that's the type of coach that's very, very easy to turn on. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
And
I think
Jerry,
once that momentum gets going, go ahead.
No, what you said just perfectly sums up Butch Jones about when things start going like poorly or off script, that's when he struggles. And that's something that I thought maybe he could get past. I don't think he's going to get past it. I don't think we've seen anything that makes us believe he's going to get past it. He's a guy that, look, here's what I think about Butch Jones through 3 years. I think he works really hard. I think that's why he's good at recruiting. I don't think he's, you know, lazy, anything like that. I think he gives a 110% effort, whatever. I just don't think he is a smart person, and I think that shows up whenever he has to go off script and make a call during a game on the fly or at a press conference when someone asks him a tough question, he just comes off as extremely stupid. I mean, he just starts going over his cliches. I'm sure when he dirty talks Barb, it involves eye discipline and 6-3 effort because that's all he knows how to say. And it's just, I don't know if he's ever going to get over that because he's just really dumb.
Do you think he references eyes on the thighs? Is this thing on?
I didn't hear what you said, sorry.
I said, do you think that he references eyes on the thighs when he's talking to Barb?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. When he, you know, like I feel like anytime anyone asks him a question, he just goes through like his just cliches. That's all he knows how to say. I think he talks in nothing but cliches. Dirty
well,
talk
if you,
with
if you
Barb,
remember,
when a telemarketer calls him, when someone asks if he wants change at the pilot station, I think it's nothing but
it,
6-3
it
effort,
comes off,
brick on brick.
It comes off far too fluid for it to just be like an at your occupation thing. But
right.
To be fair to him, I mean, I've incorporated eyes on the thighs, the drive to five and things like that with my wife. So I do thank Butch Jones for that, as that's been a raging success here at the Fields household. So I do think we've discussed that enough. I do want to transition to kind of the topic of the day that really doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And to anybody listening, I'm sure it's no secret. You follow us on Twitter. You're on the message board. You're on the, you know, all the pay sites and everything. There's been this this rumor, and I want to be careful with it because, I mean, we can talk about it and talk about what, you know, what impact it could have for Tennessee, but at the end of the day, it is a somewhat serious accusation, and I do want to be as fair as possible to everybody. The accusation is that there was a physical altercation, and I haven't read enough about, like, exactly when this allegedly happened, but between Butch Jones, I believe it was Matt Crowder, or an offensive lineman, somebody on the offensive line, where there's an accusation that there was some physical contact made between coach and player. And I do think just before we jumped on tonight that, and I'm going to butcher his name and I apologize in advance, Dustin Dopperak, maybe, Tennessee beat writer for the Knox News Sentinel, said he talked to Michael Crowder, Mac's father. He just tweeted this out about the rumored altercation between Mac and Butch Jones. The tweet says that he declined to comment. And Dustin goes further to say that Michael said he didn't want to validate message board rumors. Before you guys get into it, because I know, Trent, I know you feel strongly about it. I think anybody who follows you on Twitter sees how strongly you do feel about this. My two cents on just that tweet is that if I put myself in that position and I get asked that question, and I know for without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing to it, it's bad for the program, it's bad for my son, it's bad for, you know, everything, for perception, because it is. It's not something that you want to just float out there and let other coaches negative recruit the hell out of you if it's not true. But I would dismiss that immediately and absolutely come out to say that, no, that didn't happen, that's silly, it's dumb. And that would invalidate the rumor. I mean, that would put it to bed right there. I mean, it came from his father, it's over. Instead, he declines comment, citing that he doesn't want to validate message board rumors. Now, that's obviously you can debate how you see that. I'm sure Alex sees or Morris sees it one way, and I'm sure that Flood sees it another. But I'm gonna toss that out to you guys and see where you stand. And I think the people probably want to hear Trent Flubs, as he's been championing Butch Jones on Twitter all day. So Trent, the floor is yours here.
Well, first of all, I don't know the Crowders. I'm sure they're wonderful people, so nothing that I say should be taken as a slam against them because I don't know them personally. I will say that would have, if it's true, it's the most contact that Mac has seen in a while on the field. Secondly, if I were a parent of a player, you know, I want the player to start, you know, I may just dangle it out. I may not confirm or deny. I may dangle it out there. I may use this leverage, you know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I doubt that's the case. I'm sure these are great people. I don't know them, as I said repeatedly. But, you know, I'm not a player's, you know, I don't have this sympathy. I don't like players' coaches, you know. It's a football team. A football team, Jerry, in the SEC. And we are complaining about contact on the football field. It's a football team that you want to win. Yet we are complaining about a rumor about a coach bumping into a player. It's absurd. There's nothing.
Well, let me step in and say that we're not complaining about the rumor. We're discussing whether or not, you know, obviously nobody knows if it's true yet. So we do what you do on the internet. You operate under the assumption that it's true. You operate under the assumption that it's false. If it's true, I don't know how you can say that it's just contact on a football field. I understand you're a macho dude, kind of. You're my buddy and I love you though. But you're no nonsense. You're old fashioned. You think that, hey, if these kids can't take it, yada yada yada. And listen, to a point, I totally agree. I think that a lot of kids that leave and say they can't take it, I think a lot of that is just kids today are a little more mentally soft than perhaps how they used to make them, so to speak. However, if you're talking about a player getting punched in front of his peers, you can't do. I mean, no. On what earth is that okay? On what earth is that okay?
Let me say this, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Morris because I'm dying to know his take. I'm not really clear on his take, to be honest with you. But I'm going to say something. I want everybody to listen to this because you know it's true. If we were 5-0, all of you would be doing everything in your power to bury this. To protect Butch Jones, it's hypocritical, it's manufactured rage, and it's wrong. Every one of you would be denying this was true if we were 5-0 right now.
What does that have to do with – I don't understand. Okay, what does that have to do with we're 2-3? We suck.
Yeah, Trent.
Our
but
coaches
Trent,
suck,
Trent,
and he hit a player.
Okay, the thing is, yeah, the Trent thing. Trent, the thing is, we're not 5-0. We're 2-3. So, yeah, we're not going to bury. Of course, we'd bury it if we were 5-0. I mean, we tried to keep Bruce Pearl. If that was Konza, we would have run him out of town if he had. Yeah, you know. So I don't see that. I agree with you. That's true. But what we're talking about is, did it happen, and then what do we do after that? Or what is Matt Crowder going to do? One, I definitely think it's true. I mean, if you watch Butch Jones for 3 seconds during the game, he's just like an angry, out-of-control lunatic. Again, driven in most part by his extremely low IQ. So I definitely think that he did something to Matt Crowder. If you remember at that time, there was a weird rumor that dropped and then got squashed pretty quickly that Dylan Wiseman, Brett Kendrick, and Matt Crowder are all leaving the team. Like, that was reported by legit beat writers. And then it was like, oh, never mind, they're back.
Huge losses there.
No, I'm not – look, again, but I'm just saying that, to me, is evidence that some incident happened. And I don't know what it was. I don't know how bad it was. Definitely could have been blown out of proportion, but I think there was an incident, and I think it offended at least a couple of the players to the point where they wanted to leave the program because of it. That said, I don't see what's the upside, really, for Matt Crowder to come out with this, unless he wants to take it all the way to some sort of, like, legal or like a lawsuit, which maybe he does, but what's the upside? I mean, not every fan dislikes Butch Jones. He's going to come out with this, and a huge chunk of the fan base is going to be all over it. And he's going to probably get booed on campus, yelled at on campus. There's probably players on the team that like Butch, I'm assuming. I'm sure not every player dislikes him that are not going to like it, think he's being a snitch or whatever. So even though I do think it happened, I don't think anything will come of it, and just because I don't see the upside for the Crowders.
Well, how can anything come up now anyway, though? You have the dad on record saying he doesn't want to validate internet rumors. I mean, to me, it's squashed. It's over.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I agree with you.
I'll just say that I under no circumstance do I think that this is over. That's all I really care to say. I mean, nothing could have happened, but I've heard from enough people that I think it's going to be investigated. I think it's going to be looked into. I don't even know. Everybody's talking like it's such a great thing if it happens because you can let him go with cause and you don't pay his buyout and yada, yada, yada. But I don't think people have really stepped back and thought about what this could possibly do for program perception on a national level, though. You think you've got a coach who, I think we can all agree, to this point has given us nothing on Saturdays to prove that he can get it done here. Is that a learned trait, perhaps? I think you can go back to his Cincy days. I've seen some statistics on Twitter, some images of some decisions that he made at Cincy that he's done the exact same thing here. Leads me to believe he probably doesn't learn from his mistakes. But you can argue that all night, and that's fine. But there will be some massive, massive backlash if it comes out that, you know, he did hit a player, and you can let him go and do all the right things, but still that kind of hang up remains that, you know, oh, am I going to let my son go to Tennessee where the last coach punched a player? I don't think we're thinking it all the way through. Yeah, there are some bonuses, I guess, if you care more about Tennessee, the program, than anything else. Because I don't think Butch Jones is going to get it done here. I would love to be proven wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong starting on Saturday, but I think he's – I don't think he's Derek Dooley. I think he's Derek Dooley, but he can attract some players. I think that's starting to slow down, and I think that's going to continue to slow down as the losses continue to pile up because kids aren't stupid. But I do think that – I do think we need to pump the brakes on this being just some fabulous, fabulous outcome should that be what happens. I don't think it's a really good situation, regardless of if it comes out or not, because the rumor's out there, it's being discussed. But you know, today, with how today is, the internet, Twitter, everything else, I mean, you can't hide it. You might as well talk about it. I think you're getting upset that people are like discussing possibilities and stuff. And I know you would love for it to be 1973 again. to where you could hit the phone booth and do your thing. But it's a different day and age. I mean, there are no secrets. There's no privacy. There's no, you can't bury something like this. It's going to get discussed, but it will go, if there's nothing to it, it will go away in like a week, and we'll forget about it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I think what bothers me most of all is, like you said, there is a definite glee that some people have that they are going to find some smoking gun to have their coach fired without cause, which is going to, you know, nuke the program once again. And I don't think people have a clue what they're doing. I really don't. I think it's dangerous, and, you know, if we were winning, it's just the type of thing when you're losing, you're under a microscope. If we were winning, this would be nothing more than just a bump in practice. Nobody would give a crap.
Well,
yeah, I don't think it's – I agree with Flubs in that I don't think it would be good because not the perception, though, like Jerry said. Our perception to me, like that – What is our perception right now of Tennessee? I mean, football. We're like basically like the Dresco Whites. I mean, we're just a running joke, a bumbling retards out there that always get the ball pulled out from us. You know, so like, I don't know, how could it get any worse?
So true.
We fire coaches every 2 years in every sport. I mean, what more could be done to our perception? I think it's a bad deal because let's say it plays out over the next 2 weeks, it probably happen that quickly, I imagine, and he gets fired, and say you're 2-6 or 3-5, it doesn't really matter what your record is at that point, but you're going to have to hire a new coach. Who's going to make that hire exactly? Dave Hart is, I mean, he's going to be gone or a dead man walking. So you're either going to have an AD search that is expedited to get someone in to make the football hire, or you're going to let an interim hire. Yeah. I mean, it would honestly have to be that, or David Blackburn, or someone with some history with the program that you could bring in. Otherwise,
right.
I mean, who's going to make the hire, and what coach in the open market is going to leave their, you know, presumably stable situation if they're going for the Tennessee job to come work for an unknown AD that didn't hire them with this mess of a program? I mean, we have a nice roster, but I just don't see that attracting, you know, a great pool of talent.
It's just such a tough spot right now because we're deflated. Our staff has shown us nothing on the field, really. I mean, we've definitely seen an increase in talent. I mean, you can tell in terms of the people we have running around losing football games out there are a lot better than they were 2 years ago. They look a lot better doing it. But that doesn't – I mean, I for most fans, let's exclude Flubs here, we care about wins. And it doesn't feel like we're getting any closer to that. Everybody says, oh, well, next year is the year. Well, is it really? I mean, if you look at the roster, yeah, I guess there are some holes there though. Cam Sutton's gone. I wouldn't be shocked if Reeves Maven goes. In this class, while it has, you know, we're talking on Twitter today, five or six, you know, really good core guys, that's got to fill up with some better guys around it. And if you finish 5-7, 6-6, 7-5, I don't know that you can sell it again. But I mean, maybe you can. And then next year is the year again. I mean, do we just start over? My fear is that you have such a small window when you in football. You've got a guy for 3 or 4 years, and classes and rosters turn over so quickly that if this continues on the road, it's down. Let's say this rumor is BS, and you keep him, and everything's fine there. You still are running the risk of that roster not looking that good in 2 years. When you've finally given him his 4 year, you know, mandatory Trent Flubs 4 year term, and then you hire, you know, then your selection pool might not be as attractive as it would have been had you done it a year before when your roster was, I mean, not loaded, but I mean, pretty damn good. I mean, two top five, seven classes, something like that. And then backing it up with maybe this one might finish, you know, top 15 because of numbers, and I mean maybe worse. But that's a pretty damn good roster for a coach to take over in an SEC East that's definitely not what it used to be. I think it will be again, but you still have a few years there. But that window's closing. So I do think if I'm the athletic director and we win six football games or less, I'm letting him go at the end of the year. That's me. I'm not happy at all with seven. Maybe I might be happy with seven, knowing where we are now and kind of what the rest of the season looks like. To get to seven would be okay, I guess. But it, you know, and maybe recruits remember more of how you finish than how you start. I don't know. I'm obviously a supreme athlete, but I wasn't recruited by Tennessee. Some other very fine schools that don't exist. But I just think I'm worried about where we're headed. I just think we could flip that roster back and be almost where we started with, at the end of the Dooley era again, and that's my biggest fear. And perhaps I saw this punch that did or didn't happen is kind of a window out of that, and perhaps it is. I don't know. But I guess the reason I wanted to definitely have this podcast was just to express how concerned I really am about this roster where we're headed. Things look good on paper in terms of who we have on our football team right now, but if you go back and think, that can change awfully quick.
Yeah, but I think one mistake that you're making that the three of us should be well aware of by now, you cannot assign rational thinking to high school football recruits.
Well,
agreed.
But Derek Dooley,
your point is true. That doesn't make it any less true. But I agree with Wolf. I mean, we do have a nice roster. We have a nice roster, and the SEC East is down. That's not really what worries me. I mean, that in normal settings, that would attract a good coach for sure. I think we could make a good hire right now. What I'm more concerned about is the AD. How basically Butch and Dave Hart are tied to the hip, where they both can't survive. And it's just extremely difficult to get a big-name quality coach when they don't know who their boss is going to be. And they don't know who – you know, when you always want to work with the guy that hired you. And that's probably not going to be the case if we make a hire this offseason.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I refuse to buy that if we win five or six games this year, that next year's – this incoming class is going to be – anything above, mildly above average. I just I think it needs to be better than that to continue to gain the momentum that, you know, we have built. And for all the things I've said bad about Butch Jones, I should go back and clarify. Like, I think he's done. I think I might even say it last podcast. I think 90% of his job, he's absolutely knocked out of the park. It's just that 10% is very, very important. I don't buy that our class will be anything where it needs to be if we get five or six games. I do think you can sell kids a dream, but I think if they have enough reference points and parents with, you know, with a brain in between their ears, that, you know, they're going to raise some questions. And obviously, when you have a coach like Butch who's so expressive and so into his cliches and things of that nature, they're going to negative recruit the hell out of that. And just like kids can buy Butch Jones, they can buy anybody else. And now, you know, they can go in and say, well, look, you've got 3 years of suck. Why would you want to go there? That's my fear.
Yeah. And I think that Butch has a one-year buffer zone. As long as Hart's there, Butch has a one-year safe period. There's no way you get rid of both of them at the same time. That almost never happens. You fire the AD. New AD comes in, gives full vote of confidence to the coach. Then if the next year he sucks, gone. I'm getting my own guy in there. That's all.
I mean, that's
dope.
Exactly what happened with Dooley. That's exactly what happened with Dooley.
Yeah. You got Butch. I mean, he's going to be here through 2016.
I agree.
You know, as long as he wins, I mean, maybe even five games. I don't know.
If we win five games, he's here next year.
I agree. I think he is.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Athletic program worth their salt would not keep them here with five wins. People get too caught up in the buyout and do not understand how it works.
No, the only scenario I see him getting fired, unless something happens for college, is if Dave Hart gets canned in the next, it's the very near future, and you have an expedited AD hire where you bring in, you know, David Blackburn or Philip Fulmer. That's the only scenario I see. I think Dave Hart might not make it to January, but the thing is, you hire football coaches in December, you know, early January at the latest, and you have to have a permanent AD in place if you're going to make a football hire, unless it's just a weird scenario like Harbaugh.
All right, we got who your next coach is. Let's take a few calls, and we'll talk about Georgia beating our ass. We'll get out of here. 865-617, you're on. What's up?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Beef?
Yeah, this is Beef.
What's up, bro?
Hey, Beef.
Not much, man. Just saw that there was a podcast. Had no idea this was even going on tonight.
Yeah, baby. We've kind of touched on the bases. You got Flubs, obviously, you know, preaching patience, preaching a few more years, says he should get as many years as the president gets. I'm denying it, and then Morris is siding with Flubs because he's a sheep.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic here. Butch isn't going anywhere this year. Outside of a crazy scandal, Butch just isn't going anywhere. We can't afford it.
True.
It's just not going to happen. You know, this AD that you all were so lovingly talking about, he signed just an amazing contract deal with Butch Jones that has afforded him a giant paycheck should anything unfortunate happen to him here at Tennessee early. And he's not going anywhere. It's just not going to happen. Unless a superhero Haslam steps in and decides to save Tennessee football, it's just not going to happen.
I think that my quick opinion on the buyout thing, if you read it, and I've asked some people on the board who are more intelligent than myself kind of how those contracts work. I mean, that's rolled into your overall budget, which is a very, very small percentage overall, and that's something that can be paid over time. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not going to Donald Trump it and just say,
small part
yeah,
of your budget. No. Those people are morons that know nothing.
Well, all right. I disagree.
You're talking about once you start talking about, you know, amounts of money over $6 million, you're not going to do that. We learned our lesson, hopefully, with the last few coaching hires where we paid out salaries over years and years and years. I mean, we can't and the Butch contract's even worse than those contracts.
Okay, well, what is $6 million over a handful of years compared to FanApp? Let's assume he wins 5 or 6 this year, and FanApp
comes out to way more than 6. If you spread it out, everything that he – like, if you were to fire Butch Jones today, I think it comes out to, like, almost $15 million that we'd have to pay out over a course of, like, maybe 6 or 8 years.
You know, I keep hearing the fan apathy thing. There is no fan apathy. Did you see the crowd for the monsoon for Arkansas? There is no apathy.
Did you see – are you full – are you an idiot? Did you – there people were giving away tickets to the – they're giving – my parents sold their Georgia tickets for $40. So what? My question. Well, let me finish. My question is, what is that $6, $10, $15 million, whatever it is, over however many years? What is that compared to nobody showing up except for like 3 or 4 big games a year? What does that do for national perception? There's a price on all of that, in my opinion. And it's probably not the easiest thing in the world to buy out, but it can absolutely be done. Now, if you want to talk about do we have an athletic director that we believe that will actually do that, okay, that answer is no. I make no bones about it. I want my athletic director to be Philip Fulmer. He may be Doug Dickey in that he doesn't really care about basketball, but I love the NBA, and so I'm fine with that. If he can fix football,
do we care about
good.
Basketball right now?
We have Barnes
as our coach.
I've heard that Rick Barnes is our basketball coach. I would be surprised if he's on the floor at Texas next year. Like, I don't even know if he's in Knoxville.
I heard that he was volunteering as a CPR dummy on campus for the health classes.
basketball. That's going to be an awful year. But Beef, you bring up some good points. I'm simply saying I don't think it's impossible if you had an AD that was worth the salt. What you said is correct. You have to rely on boosters. I'm not privy. I don't know what the state of those guys are. So maybe I'm talking.
Can we stop the booster narrative? I mean, what are we 8 years in and we're still buying this booster narrative? Boosters at Tennessee do not care at all. Like, I don't know
exactly
what has made us think that they care. Like, literally, they don't care at all. They're rich.
They don't
they
care,
don't
and that's why we have Butch Jones as a coach.
Exactly. They probably just called Butch Jones when they wanted to come to their Christmas party so they can impress people. But they're not going to give their money to the University of Tennessee to get a football coach. I mean, they're just not going to do that. Like, why?
The last big name coach we hired. The last big name coach we hired was Johnny Majors, and we were only able to get him because he was a Vol for life.
So if all that's true. Then we should really dial back expectations as to what we want out of this program. True or false?
Yes, absolutely.
We would have a better chance if the next go-round, this wasn't really an option, I guess, before, if we did a crowdfund for, like, Chip Kelly. That would do better. That would have better results than relying on, you know, one of the 17 Haslams to pony up.
Can I clue you in on something? That have options to coach other places who aren't from Tennessee, don't want to live in Knoxville. I'm sorry, it's true. Lane Kiffin could not wait to get out of the place. It's just how it is. Kevin O'Neill could not wait to leave Knoxville. If they're not from here, if they have no ties, they don't want to stay here.
Look,
That's a terrible argument.
I
agree. That's dumb.
Especially since all the other big colleges are in horrible towns, like Tuscaloosa and Gainesville and Oxford and Auburn, Alabama. Tallahassee. Like, it's not NFL jobs.
Coaches go out of their way on their honeymoon to sneak into Neyland Stadium and have sex in it because they love this place so much. I don't buy that argument for one second.
And then they catch an Uber to the airport as fast as they can to get out of Knoxville. And Morris. You mentioned.
Look, I don't care if Booster, the reason that Freshwater can't wait to get out of Knoxville. That's not a good argument. That's a terrible argument.
The reason
Knoxville
listen,
is a great destination for college coaches. If you come here and you just like talk about how much you love this place and how much you love this town will bend over backwards and absolutely just take it up the ass for any coach.
That wouldn't be backwards.
This is what Butch's whole problem is. He's came in, he's played this city beautifully, and he has just sold, but it's just a big pile of mashed up asshole.
Well, and you're absolutely right. That's a great point. Imagine Butch Jones, but imagine him also winning, like, a fair amount of football games each year. He would be beloved. He would eventually have a statue named after him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He'd get a street name or a statue.
You only have to be a nine or ten win coach
in this town, and you are forever revered as a great saint and hero of Knoxville. So all you got to do
if you can win 9 or 10 and take the occasional shot at the title, baby, I'm in. Listen, I'm all the way in because there are a handful of coaches, a handful of programs who do that every single year, and it's cyclically the men. So you give me 9 or 10 wins a year with the shot. You give me like Mark Richt, but also can contend for a title every 4, 5, 6 years, dude. You can't. The guy would demand to never leave Knoxville. He would be so loved here. So I do not.
Do you guys, Knoxville, Tennessee, is not
a destination for a football coach. That's bullshit.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about Butch Jones, you three. Do you think that he is the type of guy that's going to be able to withstand the heat that's coming down on him right now?
I think he's burning,
though. Derek Dooley was not. And based off what we see, the way he coaches when games get tight, I mean, this guy looks like, to me, like watching that press conference today, he looks like he's about to come unraveling at the seams.
Butch is the kind of guy, when he gets upset, he just pushes and shoves. You know, be it the fans, players, that's what he does. You know, he's a little upset.
This is a complete guess. But I think Butch always talks about the outside clutter. Today he came in and referenced, what did he say? Something effective. You just make a list of your naysayers and you keep it in your back pocket for, you know, pull out later. You know, all that screams to me is that He pays attention and cares about things that he should absolutely not even be looking at right now. Like, he doesn't need to be reading message boards or getting reports from message boards. That's happening. He doesn't need to be checking on leaks to make sure that everything's locked down in the locker room. That's happening. He needs to be worried about his football team winning football games, and everything else will come. He talks about this outside clutter, and you just can't let it distract you. He's letting it distract him every week, I feel like. Every week there's a reference to it now. We're a big, redneck, passionate, angry fan base that demands success, and that's not going to change. And so you have to know that coming into the job.
There's this whole generation of coaches out there right now, and the Butch Jones, Will Muschamp, Derek Dooley, they go all the way through high school, college, and pro that think they are Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. And it is very widespread belief. They all mimic them with the shutting off of the practices and the stopping the leaks and the being terse with the media, and that is not what they are. And once you've won, you can act that way. But when you haven't, you see the results, and it goes downhill quickly.
Well, regarding I'm going to get my – I never got to answer that last question, so I'm just going to interject my feelings on that now. Regarding coaching under pressure, you know, Aaron Medley makes one of a number of field goals at Florida. We win. Preston holds on to a ball at the 7-yard line. We win. To me, that's not coaching. That's not poor coaching under pressure. I mean, that's poor performance from your players. I don't think that.
Hey, Trent. If your employees aren't working well for you, who ultimately does that fall on?
You know, I guess
if your employees
if your
employees are underperforming, not pulling up, not hitting quotas that are expected of you, who does that fall on? Them or their boss or both?
Well, Was it the Boston Red Sox manager's fault that Bill Buckner let a ball roll between his legs? I mean, he's a 50-year-old man out there who's played baseball for 40 years. You know how to catch
that
a ground
ball.
World.
When did we
that's
play
a, that's
the
a great point.
When did we play the equivalent of the World Series
when that happened?
When have we played the equivalent of the World Series, Trent? We outplayed Florida and Oklahoma, lost them, and we played Arkansas,
which I guess is
the Miami Dolphins.
I can't believe
that's what you
got out of that analogy. I cannot believe out of that beautiful analogy that you think I'm saying we're in the World Series.
Hey, Trent,
it was terrible.
How many teams are there in college football?
He doesn't know.
Several. I don't know.
A lot.
127. And guess where we're ranked on defense?
Yeah, man, we're not very good. We have two true freshmen on the defensive line. We have a freshman, a middle linebacker, and when he's not playing, we have a guy who's under talented. I'm not gonna talk bad about the guy like everybody does. I mean, he's trying his hardest. So, I mean, you know,
coaches only get to make so many decisions in football games that really have a huge impact. You know, the usage of timeouts, deciding to go for it or not, to kick a field goal. And those key moments throughout this season, you can look at key moments in all of those losses, and you can pin big percentage portion of what went wrong in those games on those key coaching decisions and moments that were fully on Butch Jones' shoulders. Not his offensive coordinator, not his defensive coordinator, but really key moments that were Butch Jones' decisions, and he just flat out made the wrong decision to the point where he's getting ridiculed and made fun of by goofy TV announcers that have hardly no football knowledge, but they know that Butch Jones is a terrible coach. It's laughable.
But Beef, the fact of the matter is, if you take every game, you break down the film from every game 1998 from Syracuse all the way through to Mississippi State, we won every game. You're going to find bad decisions from Philip Fulmer in those games. It's the fact that
that's a good point, but his point still stands. He makes so many that his players can't overcome. No, it's not a great point. It's a good point. We'll call it good. But listen, that doesn't matter. They won every game. We didn't. I mean, those are two completely different series. Perhaps the upward league. Maybe
Tennessee,
you can find a program in the upward
Tennessee,
league.
On paper, Tennessee was favored going into every single football contest so far this year.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And when you watch the games,
Vegas
it's
is
obvious.
Trent Flubs.
Tennessee has the better athletes on the field. Yet, when the game's over, we're losing. We're losing football games. We should have beat Arkansas. We should
and
have beat
we're
Oklahoma.
Losing, and
we should have beat Florida. But we didn't.
We're losing
why?
The game.
Why didn't we win?
we're losing the games because Butch is stupid. That's what I'm telling you. He's made, like, it's not that he's really dumb. Like, literally, like, his brain locks up and he just goes and he starts reciting whatever BuzzFeed proverbs of the day that he's ripped off of his Facebook feed. I mean, the guy
losing
is very
stupid, the pride of who we
are. That's not going to change.
Here's what I want to say before I think, like, yeah, we got like 3 minutes. But I think the writing's almost on the wall. I think he has this year. But when you have national media already ripping him, absolutely like hit pieces by USA Today, some of those other guys on him, it's going to be very, very tough to turn around unless he wins 2 football games this year that he shouldn't. And I don't think anybody on this podcast thinks that there's a remote chance of beating Alabama. I guess we could beat Georgia. The only reason I think that now is because the line is so curious. And unlike Trent Flood's, I do think Vegas knows what they're talking about. So that one gives me a little bit of pause, but I still think, you know, you're looking 6-7 wins at best. Nobody's going to pat him on the back for that. There's going to be no hype going into the off season. I just don't think it bodes very well. It's just, but I could be wrong. Been wrong.
You know what Vegas sees? I mean, this is what Vegas looks at. Vegas looks at talent. Right? Vegas knows we've got an extremely talented football team. We have a team that is straight up on par with Georgia when it comes to talent. Georgia has got a terrible quarterback situation. And you could have said the same thing going into the Oklahoma game, going into the Florida game. We have way more talent than these teams. But what happens? Butch finds a way
because
he is fucking terrible.
I never said that. I don't have the talent that Oklahoma has from top to bottom. I don't think that we do. I mean, Morris, do you think we do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've had as much or more. Oklahoma is comparable to us. We had more talent, I thought, than Florida, and definitely more talent than Arkansas. But, again, that has really nothing to do with it, though. Like I said, I mean, he has the talent to win. He's got, you know, he does a lot of things really well. I think his team plays pretty hard for the most part. They don't make a lot of boneheaded penalties, recruits pretty well. But, again, he's just so stupid that I don't see how he's ever going to make enough correct calls, I mean, in a game to allow us to win 9 or 10 of them. Because he's going to be faced with those tough calls, and he's proven time and time again that his, like I said, his brain just locks up and it turns beet red, and he starts punching back up offensive linemen when the cameras aren't on him.
He really needs to get Stephen Hawking on the sideline with him.
Maybe he can get what's the outer space guy? What's his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh my gosh, that guy's IQ is just insanely low. He's so stupid. Anyway, Beast, fantastic call. Let me get a Georgia prediction on your way out the door, brother.
Georgia prediction. I predict Tennessee goes up at least 14 points on Georgia. Only to lose by, we'll say, 5 points this time.
5-point L. We'll be back here next week trying to figure out if Butch is going to spin it as a positive. Beast, appreciate the call. You're being showered on the board with praise. I think that was a great call. Plenty of good points. Thanks for the call, man.
Have a good one.
See ya.
See ya, bud.
Guys. I don't even enjoy this anymore. Like, I mean, I like talking to you guys. I love talking to guys like Beast, guys that have been around, boarded together forever, tweeted together forever. It's just depressing at this point. I feel like we have the same damn podcast every year. We're going to keep doing them because, I mean, well, I mean, surely 1 year it's going to happen and we get to share in absolute glory together. But it's, I don't know, man. I'm deflated. I'm absolutely deflated. Does anybody want to say anything before I end this?
To lift your spirits by telling you that Vols rebound this weekend with a 35-21 victory over the Georgia Bulldogs.
35-21. Will you be there to watch that victory? Trent Flubs, you're right there.
No, absolutely not. No, I won't be there.
No, okay. Flubs will not be there. I think we lost Morris. Which is becoming quite a consistent thing week in and week out. Flubs, since you're not going to the game, why don't you join me for a Saturday night little call-in show? Does that work?
I'll do it, but I know that if we lose, neither one of us are going to actually follow through with that. So
that's fair. And hey, we have one more call. Should we take it?
Yeah, I'm yeah.
Let's do it. Let's see, 865, what is that, 803. You're on the air with Megawatt Trent Plus.
What's up, guys? Caller Roberto.
Roberto, yay. The Shine Man. What's up, brother?
Hey, maybe I should change my name. You know, guys, Flubs, I've been reading up, I've been lurking all day, and I really, really hope you're right that this really didn't happen. But that's not what I've heard and not what I've, what's been indicated to me. But you did bring up a great point on Twitter. We wouldn't be talking about this if we were 5-0 or 4-1, guys. We wouldn't be. So that's really the damnable thing of it all. And I'm stuck down here in this sweaty nutsack of a state, Alabama. I had to go to freaking Tuscaloosa today and hear them just dog us out about how we suck. And I'm just so tired of being the ass end of a joke, aren't you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm just it's almost like my comfort zone now at this point. Like I've come up, I've got like a Butch Jones book of cliches for my buddies. I've got a lot of Ohio State buddies, a lot of Oklahoma friends, right. And then some Alabama buddies. And I've been able to, I can deflect with the best of them from like January to like mid to late August. But when we actually start actually like physically losing on the field is when it becomes a big challenge to spin it. And that's kind of where I am right now. Listen, an Ohio State loss will almost mean more to me than a victory over Georgia. That's how bad it is up here right now for me. So that's why I keep doing this.
I hate
to everyone
State.
Because I need to pretend like I don't live here. So it's awful.
Jerry, I want a quick question for the two of you, and I'll leave you with this. But when are you out on Butch Jones? I know, Trent, you're not. But and if you are, when was it? For me, it was the 4th-and-1 at Oklahoma. I knew it was over then. I knew he couldn't coach. He had no feel.
Let's see. I was pretty sure I was out on him after Florida just because I hadn't felt like that in a long time. In terms of just the manner in which we lost and kind of that, a lot of losses now I can somewhat laugh off and be and just kind of not. It's kind of ironic. Snap and clear within like 30 or 40 minutes after the game, and you know, I do look at Twitter. Yeah, I do look to Twitter. Twitter helps me. Now that I have kids, I just kind of go stare at them for a while and focus on the important things in life. But I think post Florida was bad, but watching us just get mowed over and just lay down against Arkansas in the second, I'm done. Yeah, I'm out. If he was gonna win these close games, and I think Morris alluded to it earlier, you've got, even if you're a great coach in the SEC, there are going to be a handful of football games that are going to come down to one or two possessions, and you've got to coach your way to win them. And
right.
And if he hasn't won one of those yet, I'm not buying South Carolina's really one of those. If he hasn't won one of those big ones yet, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I just don't. Just my opinion. I'm out on this.
Funny how that works. That the South Carolina game is no longer a big win when I've been saying that now for how many years? Ever since the game.
Now,
that was not that great of a win.
The manner in which it happened was awesome. It was fun watching us come back. Now the first win was a snoozer. That was just two, like, pretty bad football teams out there, like, just trying not to fumble. But last year was just fun in that we basically pulled a Florida, what they did to us. We were just dead to rights. I mean, I think we had, like, a 2 or 3% chance to win the game, and we did it. So I think we rode off of that emotion. But if you look, like, and compare apples to apples, I mean, that's a game that we could have won. It wasn't like he just – I don't know. You beat a team like Georgia this week. You beat a team like Alabama. You beat Oklahoma, then okay, you might have coached your way to a victory. But I just don't think he's done it yet. If you're doing 3 years, you don't need to be in the SEC.
Very winnable game in front of us. Very winnable. Very winnable. And, guys, before we get off here, I've thought of a way that we could maintain some excitement through the until the end of the year. Let's get into Star Wars, maybe, and get excited about the new movie coming out.
For calling Roberto, Trent Clubs, I'm Tank Rob Lewis. We're out of here.
We're going to skate to one song only.
So I ball so hard, motherfuckers want to find me. The first niggas got to find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know this, don't shit phase. And as we go, 0 for 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even pro be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. I'm LIBO, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Also hard, got a broke clock, Rolex that don't tick-tock. All the Mars that's losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. Also hard, I'm shocked too, I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape, you be in Paris getting fucked up too. Also hard, let's get faded, Labyrinth for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models, spilling ace on my 6 J's. Also hard, bitch behave, just might let you meet, yay. Shot town, T-Rose, moving the next, BK. Also hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
What fall so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me?
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack. She said, yeah, can we get married at the mile? I'm saying, look, you need to crawl for your bar. Come and meet me in the bathroom style and show me why you.